This is HPR episode 2709 entitled Bash Tips 16 and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 24 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Erasing Bash Part 1.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, welcome to Hack Public Radio. This is Dave Morris, and I'm talking about Bash again, Bash Tips number 16. I've dropped using the titles with interesting words from the thesaurus, as I mentioned on the community news. So, 16. So what I'm doing now is talking about arrays in Bash. I'm going to do a bunch of shows on the subject to try not to make each one too long. So we've encountered Bash arrays at various points throughout this sub-series. I've referred to them and given examples using them, but never really explained them. So now's the time to get into some explanations. First thing is that there are two types of arrays, and they're called indexed and associative. They're both one-dimensional, so other languages have multi-dimensional arrays, but not in Bash. Indexed arrays are indexed by positive integers starting at zero, but the indices don't have to be sequential, so you can have gaps. That's called being sparse. Associative arrays are indexed by strings, and if you're following this series on awk, then we've talked about the equivalent in that language. Both array types have no limit on the length, and the actual values you store in there are strings. It might be numbers. Well, actually, it's not quite as simple as that, but I'm not getting to that particular point for a while. Not in this episode, anyway. So there are several ways of creating arrays in Bash, and the methods of doing it vary slightly between the two types. So let's first look at indexed arrays. The first thing is that you can simply create an indexed array and put a value in it by using the format name, where the name is the name of the array, then in square brackets the subscript, that would be a number, indexed array, then after the closing square bracket equals and then a value, which can just be an unquoted word if you wish, but usually wiser to quote things because Bash can trip you up if you don't put quotes around strings. So I've got an example which shows an array called fruits, and element 0 in square brackets is being set equal to the string apple. Fruits 1 is being set to pear. So fruits is the array name, and there are two subscripts which are 0 and 1. Subscripts or indices, whichever you like to say. And so it's an assignment, but if you've used any languages that use arrays, this will not be a big surprise. This is the way it's usually done. The subscript must be a number or an expression, but it's an expression which evaluates to a number. String would not do. So I've got an example where a variable I is set to 0, then fruits $i as the subscript set to apple, then I is incremented in an arithmetic assignment, and an arithmetic expansion, I should say, inside the square brackets. So plus plus I is in two round brackets, two parentheses with a dollar on the front. We looked at this stuff in show 1951, which there's a link to in the show notes. So that is being set to the value pair. Then we do the same again, fruits, open square brackets, dollar, two open parentheses, plus plus I, two close parentheses, close square brackets, equals, then in quotes grape. So we're just incrementing that variable. It started at zero each time we add a value to it. It's not the best way of doing it, it's just to prove that that's a way of doing it. There's also a thing called a compound assignment where you use the name of your array. So we've got the sort of generic form name equals, then open parenthesis followed by a list of things and close parenthesis. The list is square brackets containing a subscript equals a value. So that would be for the first element. Then another one, square bracket subscript 2, close square bracket equals value 2, and so forth. You can have as many of those as you want. I've just put 2 in my example. So I've rewritten the last example where we set each value into the array fruits by doing them one per line. And there's a compound statement, a compound assignment, which sets them all in one line. I want to read this out because it's pretty much the same as before, but laid out differently, if you like. Then again, the subscript equals part is optional if what it's doing is starting at zero and going up incremental steps, incrementing by one each time. So you can write it as fruits equals, open parenthesis, then in quotes apple, space, in quotes pear, space, in quotes grape, close parenthesis. So those have been assigned to elements 0, 1, and 2. And what's happening is Bash is seeing each of these items in this parenthesized list and is simply incrementing the index all by itself before it assigns it to an array element. There's also a way in which you can take an already existing indexed array and append to it by typing, in this particular case, fruits plus equals open parenthesis, quote, banana, close parenthesis, and that appends to it, so it sticks banana on as the fourth element, the one with the index of 3. Remember, it starts at zero. Plus equals operator is, I think, a fairly recent addition to Bash. Some people have seen, in fact, I've done this myself, forget to put the plus in front of the equals. So this is not the same thing. And if you were to type fruit equals open parenthesis banana to an array that had already been loaded with some data, it's going to clear it completely and just add the one element. The zeroth element will be banana. So watch out for that. Another way to define an indexed array is with the declare built-in command. Now I'm going to look at declare in a bit more detail later on in this group of shows, but I'm not going to go into great depth today. But anyway, declare space hyphen lowercase a space and then a name, in fact a list of names, will create a bunch of array variables which are indexed arrays. Declare can be used to create other things, so you need to say what type of thing you're creating, and that's what this hyphen lowercase a does. So that's indexed arrays. So they can be really simple, or you can be more formal about it and use declare. However, when it comes to creating an associative array, you have to start with the declare. You can't do the explicit indexing stuff, because how could you? The indices or subscripts are strings, any old string you care to come up with. So there is no implicit thing you can do. It has to be an explicit definition. But the initialization of an element is done pretty much the same way. Name, square bracket, subscript, close square bracket, equals value. The subscript that you put in between the square brackets doesn't need to be quoted if it contains a space. But other characters, which are not just simple spaces and letters and numbers, might need quotes. So I've got an example here where we declare, I didn't say that you had to use a hyphen capital A to define an associative array. I skipped over that bit. So if you did declare space hyphen capital A space capitals, then got an example here where we're initializing capitals square brackets England, is set to the string London, Scotland, Edinburgh, Wales, Cardiff, Northern Ireland, Belfast. Northern Ireland's got a space in it, and I haven't quoted it in here, and that's worked fine. You can also use compound assignment, as we talked about with indexed stuff. Declare space hyphen capital space capitals, and then you would do capitals equals open parentheses. And then you've got to put the subscripts. So square brackets England, close square bracket equals London, and so on and so forth. I've quoted the values in all these cases because it's just wise to, as I said before. You can even stick those two things together, and you can populate the array at the time you declare it. So after capitals in the declare command, you can just put equals and then in parentheses the list of things you're setting up. I've got an example here that shows it. You can do the same with the indexed arrays as well. I didn't mention that earlier. So I've got an example here of how you would create an associative array called chars, C-H-A-R-S, in which I'm assuming you would be storing certain characters. When you look them up, you would get back a textual description of what the character is. So I've got declare space minus capital A space C-H-A-R-S. Then we set an element C-H-A-R-S open square brackets quote. I've used a single quote, open square bracket. So that's the character, close quote. Then another close square bracket equals, and then the string open square bracket. But you'd have to quote those square brackets that you're using as the subscripts. Not too surprisingly, because there's lots of scope for confusion there. So how do you get hold of the contents of an array, having initialized it in some way or another? And there are other ways that you can initialize it than we've seen so far, but I'm not going to go into those in this episode. They'll come later. So one of the simplest ways of visualizing the contents of either type of array is using declare with the argument hyphen lowercase p. And what this does, it just generates a string which you could save away somewhere, which is actually the command you used or could use to create the array in the first place. So we've got, for example, the three arrays that we've been talking about so far. We've got declare space hyphen p, lowercase p, that is, space fruits, space capital, space chars. And what you get back is a bunch of declares. Declare space hyphen a, fruits equals, and because this was a lowercase a, and because this one's an indexed array, you just see the parenthesized list of subscripts and values. If you look at the declare hyphen capital A capitals, then you see the list of subscripts and values, starting with square brackets quotes Northern Ireland quote close square bracket equal Belfast in quotes. You get the general idea, hopefully. The ordering that you get stuff back in when you run this command, and really you'd use this if you were saving the structure of an array, maybe to rebuild it later on in a script or something. Or in fact, you might have been populating it from some data and you want to save it away, back it up. The order in which you get stuff back is always in index order when it's an indexed array. But when it's an associative array, there is no defined order. We just happen to get them back in the order we're seeing here. And bash, when it reports them back, quotes the strings, the subscript strings in an associative array. But you can omit most of them when you're doing it yourself, as long as you're sensible about it. So that's one way of seeing what's in an array when you're developing stuff or whatever. The usual way that you access array elements is with the syntax dollar, because you're expanding a variable. But this time you've got an open curly bracket, the name of the array, then in square brackets a subscript, which can be an expression or a constant. Close square brackets, close curly bracket. So that's how you access an array element. The curly brackets, you need them in order to avoid any conflict with Bash's file name expansion operators. Now, when I first saw this, I wondered, why can't you simply write something like $fruits square brackets one? That would be the logical thing to do. But the problem is that the way Bash is structured, that will be parsed as the variable $fruits, or the variable fruits being expanded because of the dollar on the front. And the square bracketed number will be regarded as a glob range expression. You know, those things where you have open square brackets, 1-9 or something like that. So that would not give the result that's wanted. I did a few tests to see what would happen if you did that, given I was working in an environment where I had the various arrays that we've been looking at so far. What would happen? So I echoed $fruits square brackets one, and I get back the expansion of fruits, and you get back the first element followed by square brackets one, which is pretty well not meaningful is what I was going to say. And that's partly because if you use the name of an array without any subscript, then that's interpreted by Bash as the element with index 0, i.e. the first element in an indexed array. It also has the same meaning when you come to an associative array, which I think is a bit odd. The following example, though, is showing if you declared a associative array, so it's a hyphen capital A, and I've called it hash, and in it I've created an element with subscript of lowercase a, value 42, lowercase b, subscript, value 97, and a subscript of 0, and I put the string, what is this, question mark. That's all in parentheses. If I echo the array hash, just by giving it $hash, what I get back is that Bash has interpreted hash as being the first element, or the zeroth element, or indeed, even more weird, the element which has the index 0. Well, there just happens to be one. It's the string 0, but you get back the string, what is this? Now, that's very strange. So I think I'm trying to prove here that you should not omit the curly brackets, because you're going to be in a whole painful area, which you're going to regret, I think, because you struggle to work out what on earth is happening. So if you put the curly brackets around this stuff, then you would type echo space, and then in double quotes, don't strictly need double quotes, but it's always wise to put them in, dollar, open curly bracket, fruits, open square bracket, one, close square bracket, close curly bracket, close quotes, and you would get back the word pair, because that's the element with index of one. So that's how you access an individual array element. If you want to do something where you look at all of the elements of an array, then instead of using a subscript, which is a number or a string, two special subscripts which you can use. The first one is an at sign, and the second one is an asterisk. So there's an example here where we're echoing fruits using the subscript of an at. We get back the four elements, apple, pear, grape, and banana, and we get them back in order. Now, the difference between the at sign and the asterisk is only apparent when you use the expression in double quotes, and only when the thing you're using it with cares about the outcome. If you use an asterisk, the array elements are returned as a single word, and they're separated by whatever the first character of the IFS variable is. We looked at this in an earlier episode. I don't remember what number it was. I didn't make a note of it. But the ifs, or IFS variable, defines, it's the interfield separator, and it's usually a space unless you fiddle with it. So you're going to get back the list of things, apple, pear, grape, and banana in that particular instance, but they're all going to be stuck together in one word, that is, as if they were in one string. If you use the at sign, the array elements are returned as a list of separate words, And this thing about words here is a little bit odd, but I've got an example coming up. It's a downloadable one which attempts to demonstrate what this actually means. And it's really relevant when you are expanding an array in a loop. So the downloadable script is called bash16_ex1.sh. There's only one script in this associated with this show this time. And it does some stuff, and it uses the ever beloved user share dict words to generate random words. I've listed it in the notes, and I'll just go through the components of it. First of all, we declare an array. The array is an it's an indexed array, so we're using a hyphen, lowercase a, and we are calling it words. Then we populate this array in a for loop. So we've got for word, that's the variable that's gonna be receiving each individual thing, for word in, and then we've got a command substitution, which is the sort of stuff I've been doing in previous examples, grepping stuff out of user share dict words. In this case, I'm grepping out everything that's not a capitalized word and it's not a possessive. I've talked about this before, so I won't go into huge detail. That is being piped to the shuf command with the arguments, the option hyphen n with the number 5. So that all that does is to randomly pick 5 words out of what's being returned by the grep. So after that close square bracket, we've got a semicolon and the do. Then all that's happening is words, the array words, is being appended to. So it's words plus equals, open parenthesis, and then in quotes we have, that's double quotes I should say, dollar word. So every time around the loop, a word is being added to the array. And there's the done part of the loop. So that's it. That's the loop that's chuntering through this list of 5 words and adding them to the array. This is not the best way to initialize an array, I should say, but we haven't looked at better ways yet. Then the next bit is a loop which uses the asterisk as the index when it expands the array. So we echo the fact that we're doing this. Then we've got another for loop, for word in, and then in double quotes we've got dollar open curly bracket words, that array name, square open square bracket, asterisk, close square bracket, close curly bracket, double quote. That's a quoted reference to the whole array, but it's using the asterisk, as we said before. That's followed by a semicolon and do. I like to stick the two on the same line. We echo the words and we get back. Then the next case is another for loop doing just about exactly the same thing, except that it's using an at sign as the index. So I won't explain it any more than that. And when it's run, it comes back with a list of 5 random words. And I've run it and put the results into the notes. And you get the message using, and then the format that it's using, whether it's using the asterisk or the at sign. And then you get the 5 words. In the case where you use an asterisk, the words are written out on one line. And that's because the loop went round only once, because the variable word was filled with all 4 elements of the array, which were then printed out. The loop, the echo in the loop printed out. The other one, which uses an at, gets back each word, each element of the array, into the variable word each time around the loop. And it iterates 5 times. So it gets back the same, it's the same array that we're looking at, the same set of 5 words, but it gets them one at a time. So it calls echo 5 times. So they come out one per line for 5. Hopefully there's some things in that script that you might find useful. It doesn't do anything useful really, but it demonstrates the difference between these forms, which I think is quite important took me a long while to fully understand what this meant, so I've tried to condense the meaning into this script for you to take away. We'll leave it there then, and carry on looking at this business of accessing array elements in the next episode. Hopefully you found that useful, and we'll be back for the next one. Bye bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.